Vegas Golden Podcast, Case Kiefer alongside Justin Emerson for a Game 7 spectacular. That's right, only one single game to talk about today, and only one single game, because if the Golden Knights don't win this single game, then there will be no games until the preseason next September. Hard to think that we're in this position after our last podcast. We were through Game 3, I believe, or yeah, even Game 4.
It was Game 3. Okay. They were up 2-1, and then they would win Game 4. So it was up 3-1, and things were looking good. And then they weren't. And then they very weren't.
Yeah, I mean, quite. I think we waxed poetic a little bit about playoff hockey when on our playoff preview podcast, and how crazy it is, and how you never really know what's going to happen. I think this series has kind of been an example of that. It's been pretty wild. There's been no lead changes, which is curious, but just the game-to-game shifts. I mean, you have Martin Jones, who looked like he couldn't stop anything. I think he let two of the first five shots he faced go in Game 3, and then last night he sets a franchise record with 58 saves. And that's just one example. It just seems like so much has changed from game to game. What's really stood out to you as we go 3-3 back to San Jose on Tuesday night? Should mention we're recording on Monday. I don't know. Just the overall wildness stands out to me. So what about you? What are you looking
at? Yeah, I think it's just that I can't choose which storyline coming out of this series has been the best one, whether or not it's Evander Kane and Ryan Reeves going at it in the media and on the ice. They had a fight. Whether or not it was, you know, just how dominant that Stone, Pacioretty, Stastny line was in the first four games, and how that they've gone cold in the last two. About, you know, you mentioned Martin Jones or Tomas Hertl's Game 5 guarantee. There's just so much going on in this series. It's turned itself from what was looking like a Vegas gentleman's sweep was on the way, and suddenly here we are and in Game 7, and this is just kind of going to what I was talking about before the series, that this is turning into one of the better rivalries in hockey, and a Game 7 like this is just going to add to that point. I expect just a classic tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the Kane-Reeves thing was really fun while it lasted, but it seems like it's died down a little bit here over the last couple games, and I think that's, you know, that's an underrated kind of amazing thing to me, is the Sharks seemed like so on tilt, so flustered, they were
Vegas
so annoyed
was
with
living rent free in their head.
Yeah, and then
four games.
It just ended. I mean, then when it came down to business and the Sharks had to get it done, it seemed like they really zeroed that stuff out. I know Brent Burns got a little chippy in a couple different occasions last night, but overall, I mean, the Sharks really haven't hurt themselves in either of the last two games, where it looked like, I mean, every game it looked like they were going to be going after the Golden Knights or getting frustrated in one way or another. It's just amazing how they've turned that switch.
Yeah, completely. It was, like you had said, I think they were so focused on the Vegas players and Ryan Reeves, and he was just getting into their head, and it was working so well. And then after Game 4, it just stopped. Like, we went back to San Jose for Game 5. The Sharks scored early and were focused and pulled out a win. They had goals when they needed to, and the way that Vegas was in the previous games. And then Game 6, just a dominating effort from their goalie last night. 58 saves, like you mentioned. Vegas was by far the better team in every regard except for the final score. So it has been crazy. Just the total night and day light switch, whatever you want to call it, between games 4 and 5, where it was looked like the Golden Knights were just going to roll through not only Sharks but the playoffs the way that they were playing, and now we're looking at it going, you know, they're the underdog at this point to even get out of their first round.
Yeah, pretty wild. The other big point you mentioned on that we could discuss a little further is, of course, that second line that really more or less a first line, but Stastny, Stone, Pacioretty just totally dictated everything that happened in the series through the first four games. They all had at least 8 points. I think Stone and Pacioretty looks like still the leaders, playoff leaders in points with 10. That being said, and you knew they couldn't keep at the pace they were on, but haven't been as much of a factor the last two games. It seems like the Sharks have done a little bit to solve, you know, that riddle that had been killing them in the first two games at T-Mobile Arena.
They had 28 points in the first four games, and they have zero in the last two. Now, of course, like, you know, a line's not going to average 7 points a game, no matter who they are in the playoffs, but my goodness, they've just been, not necessarily non-factors, because I mean their underlying numbers are still okay, but they're just not getting the puck in the net. And you know, some of that is Martin Jones, but you look at Mark Stone yesterday, real early in the game, he had that backhander in front of the net, wide open net, and just missed it. And you know, Pacioretty had a real good look later in the period, and then Pavelski was there to lift his stick, and it was just those kind of things that earlier in the series they were going in, and everything was falling for this line, and every time they were on the ice, it seemed like a goal happened. But now, you know, a little defensive shakeup may have had something to do with that. Brent Burns and Mark-Edward Vlasic moved over to covering that Stone line instead of Erik Karlsson and Brendan Dillon. So that did, I think that did something, but not all of it. It's just that they went cold. And I think that everything's amplified in the playoffs, and it might just be a regression to the mean that they're going to go cold from time to time. That's just going to happen. But it's unfortunate for Vegas that it's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Vlasic. He missed a couple games in the series.
Yeah, he missed three and four and most of two.
Right, and then, of course...
So he's played 1, 5, and 6, and I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but those are the three games that the Sharks have won.
Exactly, and of course, Joe Thornton missed game four.
Yep.
After a suspension. So the Sharks have gotten a little bit back to full strength here. I know the Vlasic thing has gotten a lot of attention. I know you wrote a story about it, and it makes a lot of sense. They've won every game he's in. I know early it did look like the Golden Knights were trying to get that Karlsson Marchessault line out there when Vlasic was out there. But as the game progressed, it seemed like Gallant maybe stuck by his guns a little bit and not really matching what the Sharks were doing. But he was kind of out on the ice with both lines last night, right?
Yeah, they were. And I mean, it got to the point that, particularly in overtime, that it was harder, even if they wanted to match lines, just because the Golden Knights had shortened their bench a lot. That Belmar Reeves Carrier line didn't get a shift until like 7 minutes into the period or something like that. So, I mean, it's harder to do that. I'm getting the numbers up right now last night to see how that Stone line did against.
Yeah, there's just so much. It's hard to remember everything that happened last night. I mean, there was worth of hockey.
Yeah, there was 90 minutes of hockey. It was tough. So that Stastny line at 5-on-5, they had 20 minutes and 31 seconds together at 5-on-5. Corsi rating, 24, 12 against, so a 62% rating. That's terrific. Expected goals for also in their favor. Scoring chances for well in their favor. So, I mean, they're still playing well. It's just that sometimes it happens. Sometimes they're not going to score as well. And that Karlsson line started to get it going a little bit. Marchessault scored. Karlsson had an assist. That line was out on the ice. They had a couple of good scoring chances. So, you know, it's sometimes it happens. And just to finish up the point, the Vlasic Burns were the ones that were defending most of the time against the Stone line. But Erik Karlsson and Brendan Dillon still had a little bit of time, but not as much as they had earlier in the series, I should say.
So, I mean, you mentioned that the Golden Knights shortened their bench. That's kind of interesting. Is it something we've, you know, talked about back to the beginning of the series, that the Sharks seemed like they had a little more depth? That might be one area where they had an advantage. I don't know it necessarily came into play last night, but you could just tell. I mean, both teams were pretty tired by the end of this. The pace had slowed down. I know it really picked up the end of the first overtime. There was like a pretty wild 2 minutes that was up and down.
Yes.
But, I mean, otherwise, you could absolutely tell that there was a difference from, you know, the first period to almost the middle of the fourth. Both these teams' legs were pretty much gone. And I don't know how you go about making sure these teams are as fresh as possible going into Tuesday.
Dude, I get tired if I have to go up my stairs too many times because I forget something in the bedroom. I can't imagine playing. A lot of these guys played 30 minutes of hockey last night of time on ice. So, yeah, and to your point, Gallant had mentioned it today that you got to kind of weigh getting some fresh legs out there. Brandon Peary, Ryan Carpenter, these guys haven't played all series. Nick Holden played in game one. These are guys who are fresh, but in Peary and Carpenter's case, they haven't played all series, so they haven't played in a couple of weeks. Holden hasn't played since as of tomorrow. It'll be, you know, almost 2 weeks that he hasn't played. So you got to kind of weigh getting fresh legs out there versus, you know, a little bit of rink rust. So that's going to be a tough decision. I can't really point to anybody on the Golden Knights that deserves to sit tomorrow after their performance. Like, everybody played well. Like, they had 59 shots on goal. They had, like, 100 and some odd shot attempts. So, you know, everybody played well. But as Gallant said all series, you know, there are really good guys sitting on the bench that are, you know, that aren't dressing, that aren't going to get into the lineup.
I could say something sacrilegious maybe in these parts, but I maybe wouldn't. I don't know if this is necessarily true, but if there is one guy that I think could sit and you could convince me. Otherwise, I don't think you make changes in Game 7 unless you have to, unless someone's hurt or someone really needs the rest. But, you know, the guy that really concerns me that I think has made pretty blatant mistakes in each of the last two games, and I think we've seen kind of come back down to earth this year as a whole, is Derek England.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance he's sitting, but that would be the guy I would actually... Me, who knows basically nothing about hockey, if I was thrown in to be the coach of the...
You know more than you give yourself.
I don't know as much as Gerard Gallant, but if I'm thrown into the coach of the Golden Knights, that might be the one that I look at, and I'm like... I don't know. He's just... He's concerned me the last two games, I guess I could say, to put it nicer.
That's fair. I mean, he misplayed the puck in the neutral zone that led to the Couture goal going the other way last night. Just looking at his Corsi numbers from last night, for example, 35 Corsi 4, 21 against, so a 62.5 Corsi percentage, which
pretty
is
good.
Terrific. But to your point, that's the second worst among Vegas defensemen from last night, because everybody, literally everybody, was positive last night for the Golden Knights. The worst one was Colin Miller at 56%. But England had the second worst relative to the rest of his team, so... There's no way that he sits.
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily think that he should. He's been really, really good, particularly on the penalty kill. But, you know, 5-on-5, maybe slipping a little bit. Who knows? But
it's just a hard sell. I guess I came to him because I was thinking through the lines. And it's a hard sell for me. You've gotten this far. I think you've been the slightly better team in the series, despite what happened last night, has happened in the last two games. I just don't see you changing the forward lines in Game 7.
The only one that I kind of had thought about was, like, the top six isn't going to change for sure. Maybe, you know, Tomáš Nosek had struggled a little bit this series, but he looked really good last night, had a couple of good scoring chances, almost put one home, almost, I'm not, like, Stone had that empty net shot, so did Nosek, and I'm not sure how he didn't finish it, but he's
had another breakaway.
Yeah, he had a breakaway, he got caught from behind by Dylan, but you're right, Nosek played really well last night. Before that, you know, maybe you want to throw Carpenter or Peary on that line, but, you know, maybe you play for a little bit more defense on that fourth line, and maybe you give Ryan Carpenter, you know, maybe William Carrier minutes. I don't know. It's tough, because when you have played well this series, and they have just about every game, they've played really well. It's tough to make a change almost for the sake of making a change when staying the course and trusting the process has gotten them this far.
Yeah, I'm certainly on that level, so I wouldn't anticipate any major changes. I was just reaching for one when I said, you know, that's the one skater that concerns me the most is England. I'm not saying I would sit him, but I certainly wouldn't change any of the forward lines. We'll see what happens. I think you've picked Nosek in that spot that's the most volatile spot, the spot you could see changing the most. I wouldn't, you know, go too crazy with that there. What about, we've covered Vegas pretty thoroughly heading into this game. What are kind of the storylines or things you're looking for on the San Jose side? What do they need to do to, you know, uphold their home ice, I guess, and win this Game 7?
Well, Tomáš Messier over there, Tomáš Hertl, you know, guaranteeing that, coming out with the Game 5, which I thought was funny because the Sharks really backed off of the idea that he made a guarantee after Game 5 last night. They're like, no, I got blown out of proportion, which is strange to me because, like, if you were right, just lean into it, right? Like, if they would have lost, it was like, no, it wasn't a guarantee. You know, he was just excited, that kind of thing. But, I mean, you won, so he's like, yeah, this dude is a fortune teller. Like, but, I mean, he's...
That's a good point. I didn't hear... I heard Pete DeBoer's comments. I didn't hear any of the players.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they said the same thing.
I think it might have been Logan Couture. I don't know. Somebody had kind of said that, no, he, you know, he wasn't making a guarantee. This is just a guy that got excited and in the heat of the moment kind of thing. But he's played awesome. He's their team leader in goals. He had the shorty last night to win it. Like, he's been terrific. So, and really just, he's playing well. Tomas Hertl is, you know, been their best forward this series. He and Logan Couture are just down the middle. Those centers have been really good. Joe Thornton's played well. So they're getting production down the middle on their blue line. Erik Karlsson, even though we talked about it the last time, he still might be hurt, still has 7 assists. So even when he's not at 100%, he's still better than most of the defensemen in the league. But it all comes down, to Martin Jones, right? Like, he was so bad in games 2 through 4. He didn't make it through 2 of them. He had a sub 800 save percentage at that point. He's worked his way up to 906 for the series now, even after last night's great performance, which is only 6 points worse than Marc-Andre Fleury. So I saw somebody on Twitter say it, that Martin Jones has been somehow both the worst and the best goalie in this series. I think that sums it up nicely. Just his Jekyll and Hyde from the middle parts of this series into the last 2 games is the biggest reason why the Sharks are, you know, 1 win away from moving on to the next round.
Absolutely. His just crazy performance may have even passed what we saw Stone do early in the series to be like the determination of the series. It really does seem like it comes down to Martin Jones. He's been the most analyzed player, and I think for good reason. As far as the Hertl guarantee, I feel like this is the type of thing where teams are just so afraid to have any type of bulletin board material, quote unquote. I think they just wanted to kill that storyline again going into game 7. I don't think they wanted to be like, yeah, he said we'd be here. I think they just wanted that to be rid of. The thing that will be interesting is if the Sharks do ultimately win, and I'm not saying they will, I still honestly don't know what way I'm leaning in this game. I feel like that'll be the type of thing they own afterwards, especially if they go on a Stanley Cup run. If they make the finals, it's going to become like part of a lore that they were down and Hertl made this guarantee. Yeah. And you want to talk about intensifying the rivalry. I feel like that's a thing that could do
100%, 100%. Like, let's just say that they go on to win the cup. We're going to see video, like their highlight reel is going to include Hertl's guarantee, even if they're backing off of it right now. But I'm very excited for game 7. I have no idea. I've been asked 100 times today, what do you think is going to happen? Who's going to win? I have no idea. I guess we're jumping ahead to the kind of looking ahead part.
We should do rapid fire. Obviously, we're just doing one game, but just to touch on all our other topics.
Yeah.
This can be our usual next up segment where we make picks. Only one game, this one, but Sharks Golden Knights, Justin, you already kind of started.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
I think that the Sharks are going to be the favorites in the game. And that one is just both the fact that they get to play at home in game 7 and the fact that they've overcome a bit of a mental hurdle, that this idea that they can't beat the Golden Knights. The Golden Knights have owned the Sharks their entire existence. They beat them in last year's playoffs. This year they were down 3-1 and a very defeated San Jose crowd. It wasn't full for game 5. It was quiet during pregames. The place is going to be alive on tomorrow night. They've come back from 3-1. They've blown the Golden Knights lead, and it all comes down to one game now. I have no idea. I picked the Golden Knights when the series began. Right now, everything's coming up roses for the Sharks right now. So if I had to pick one, I think that the Sharks may squeak this one out, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. I think we're going to get a really close game, and maybe it finishes off Martin Jones's redemption arc, or maybe this is the game that people forget games 5 and 6 and go, oh, okay, here's the guy.
I'm with you. I see another closer game, maybe a little higher scoring than Sunday night, maybe something like 4-3. But I picked the Sharks in 7 at the start of the series.
That's right, you did.
I don't really feel like I can jump off of it now.
Well, at this point, like, it's all come up. There's only so many ways to get to a game 7, and this is one of them.
Not the way I thought it was going to get to a game 7, but it is there now. You're right. At least betting odds-wise, the Sharks are a very slight favorite, -115 most places in town right now. And I think that the win percentage numbers you see are probably going to be right around there, too. I would think the Sharks are going to be like 53, 52%, something like that. It'll be very close.
So MoneyPuck does on Twitter and MoneyPuck.com does a lot of cool models. And one of them had, before last night's game, they had the Golden Knights 20.3% odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Not just move on, but win the entire thing. That got cut almost in half after last night. I think it was 10.8 or something to win the cup, and the biggest part of that is because the Sharks are the favorites in game 7, Golden Knights are only 44% to get out of the first round. So that's how big last night's game was, that it cut the Golden Knights' odds of winning the Stanley Cup in half. One game, one goal in double overtime. That's how much everything can change in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's all it's going to come down to one bounce, one shot, one misplay in the neutral zone, one goalie not getting his glove up fast enough, one terrific shot in the corner. That's why I love it.
Yep, those things always...
Best tournament in sports.
Always fun to watch those things. And the Golden Knights had a good run at top of the probabilities for a while, given the craziness of the Western Conference and their 3-1 lead of the Sharks. Speaking on that craziness of the Western Conference, just to quickly escape the fortress, I got to think the Avalanche are loving this. They wrap up the series with the Flames in 5 games. I know the Golden Knights had an advantage a lot through last year's playoffs when they wrapped up all these series quickly. The Avalanche are just at home resting their legs while the Sharks and the Golden Knights, whoever they will face next, are putting some miles on the bodies with this
and they're beating grueling series. They're beating each other up. Yeah, it was a very physical series early on. Like I said, a lot of 30 minutes of ice time last night. And yeah, the Avalanche, they last played, what was it, Friday, I guess? They wrapped up their series, and then they're not going to play again until this Thursday at the absolute earliest, and it might even be Friday or Saturday. So they're going to be rested. They're going to be ready to go. Philip Grubauer is playing awesome for them. That top line is incredible as it was in the regular season. Avalanche, yeah, I think you're right. I think they're loving this, and this is their best case scenario, to beat the Flames early and watch the Sharks and Knights beat up on each other. And they love nothing more than another double overtime game tomorrow night to find out where they're going to be going, because Sharks or Golden Knights, they'll both have home ice against the Avs. So I'm not sure how much that particularly matters, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Still, the Nashville-Dallas series is yet to be determined at recording time, but it's just kind of crazy to think that the Western Conference Final Four could be Dallas, St. Louis, Vegas, and Colorado. You look like a month into the season. I think one of them was in the playoffs. All the teams were struggling. I don't think anyone would have seen this coming.
Yeah, and four lower seeds going into it.
Exactly, four lower seeds. I mean, none of them were juggernauts through the year, so that will be interesting to watch. Hopefully we'll be back later this week if the Golden Knights win to keep previewing the rest of the playoffs, but that's a topic for another time. To finish off today, I guess it is a special one-game-only shining night. You evened it up with me in the playoffs, at least, and broke my 3- or 4-game winning streak. You had Max Pacioretty.
I had Pacioretty. He had that 4-point game. He's gone a little quiet. The shots on goal are still there. Riley Smith had... How many points did he have these 3 games?
I think he had a couple assists.
He had 3 points. He had 2 assists. Yeah, he had 2 assists in the game that Pacioretty had 4 points. He had the goal in game 5 in San Jose, but it was like a weird bounce. So yeah, Pacioretty.
I didn't even remember that goal. Yeah, I remember the assist.
Pacioretty takes the win there. So we are even after you went Stone. I went Pacioretty. And it is my pick. I get the first pick here. And
you do. I wish you would have got it last week because you said you were gonna take Riley Smith. I could have easily won that one.
I am going to go with Alex Tuch. He looked like the guy that was hell-bent in overtime last night on getting the winner. He played great in overtime. I think that it's been a pretty quiet series for him, and I think that they're going to need somebody to step up, whether it's that top line. I mean, somebody's got to score for them, probably. I mean, they might get shut out. Who knows? But I'm going to go with Alex Tuch for this Game 7 matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Tuch did seem, I would echo what you said, he seemed like one of the most intense guys out there. And I believe if you look through our photo gallery on LasVegasSun.com of through last night's game, Game 6, I think some of like the post-game shots, I believe Tuch just looks like devastated on the bench. It really seems like he's a guy that amped up his game another level. It seems like, you know, that's the type of attitude you want in this winner-go-home game. So I think Tuch is a good pick. I, however, one game, it comes all down to this. I think I've got to just go with the guy that I think is going to have the biggest factor on if they win or not, and that is Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm going to burn him. Can't take him the rest of the playoffs now, but I think I've got to go with the goalie here.
You got to think that if they win tomorrow night, that Fleury is going to have a good game, that they're not going to win if they give up 4 or 5 goals or whatever, which is a very obvious thing to say, but and it comes down to it. Most of the time when you win, your goalie plays well.
Also might be dumb because I picked them to lose. Kind of out of obligation.
Well,
but
I mean, you got to pick somebody. It's not like you're going to pick the guy on the team. Like, even if you pick the Sharks to win, it's not like you're going to pick the Golden Knight who does the worst.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm going to go with Fleury. I'm going to burn him. But I think that I mean, it goes without saying they need a big performance, like Justin said. And if they get a big performance from Marc-Andre Fleury, they will be moving on to face the Colorado Avalanche in a second-round series beginning later this week. Either way, there's going to be a lot to talk about because this is shaping up to be a very interesting offseason. Numbers yeah. don't exactly add up where we're at right now, so the team's going to look a little bit different. This could be the last time we see them in current form on Tuesday night. Can't wait to see what happens.
Yep. We'll, that'll be good. I kind of appreciate this series doing everything it can to get me to A-list class on Southwest. Lots of flights back and forth. Third time going to San Jose in 10 days or whatever it is. But it's good. This is playoff hockey. This is what you're looking for. Game 7 all comes down to it. Intense series. Big rivals. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. We'll be back either way for Justin's takeaways from his trip to San Jose. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks, as always, for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.